This broadcast inaugurates a new radio series, True Murder Mysteries, brought to you by the Police Reporter. Carefully planned crimes which were solved by intelligent effort and clever detective work. The cases we dramatize for you actually happened. The following true murder mystery is an example.
The evening of April 28, 1923, a middle-aged man and his wife were sitting in the living room of their modest home in Aurora, Illinois.
Sam, Mr. Lincoln was nowhere around today again.
Well, what of it? Well,
there's something wrong over to that house, and I think someone ought to look into
it. Always poking your nose into other people's business, aren't you?
Well, he's a nice man, and he's always been a good neighbor. 4 days and no sign of him. It don't look natural.
Why don't you go over and see? Or maybe you'll feel better, huh?
Well, I did call over the back fence this afternoon, but nobody answered. I'm going to call the police.
No, not tonight, you're not. I don't want my sleep all messed up because of a lot of cops.
Well, if I don't see Mr. Lincoln around in the morning, I'll call them.
Oh, go as far as you like, then. Go on.
The woman saw no sign of Mr. Lincoln the following morning, and she did call the police. A few minutes later, an officer stood on her porch.
You the woman who phoned the police?
Yes, I am. Come in. There's something happened next door, and I think it ought to be looked into.
Well, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, up to about a month ago, Mr. Lincoln was living there with his wife and brother-in-law.
Go on.
Well, Mr. Lincoln was a nice man, but that wife and brother-in-law, well, I'd hate to think my husband had married into that kind of a family.
I don't think you like them.
Well, who could like people like that? All the time we've lived here, they haven't done nothing but fight.
They've been fighting you?
Oh, no. The wife and brother-in-law fought the husband. Well, he was a nice man, too. Worked in his greenhouses and had a nice business.
Why should this concern the police?
I haven't come to that part yet. About a month ago, I noticed it was quiet around the house. It didn't seem natural. And when I saw Mr. Lincoln, I asked him where his wife was. And he said she and her brother had gone away for good, and he was glad of it. Well, last Thursday night, he come running into our house all excited. Said his wife had been telephoning and writing that she and her brother were going to come and kill him.
I still don't see where the police come in.
Well, Mr. Lincoln's been missing for 4 days now, and I'm afraid something's happened to him.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Go over to that house and investigate. Mr. Lincoln wouldn't go off like that without saying a word to anyone or seeing that his greenhouses are being taken care of.
It does sound kind of funny. Let's go over there and take a look.
We can go out this back door. Now, just follow me. This gate goes from our backyard to theirs. Just step right through here.
Thanks. Keeps his place nice, don't he?
Yes, he was one of those men that's always doing something.
Doesn't oil his gate, does he?
Oh, what's that white thing over there?
Why, it's a man's nightshirt. There's blood on it.
Oh, I knew it.
Ever see this before, this Indian club?
Yes, Mrs. Lincoln's brother used to have two of them. I've seen him lots of times swinging them around in the backyard here.
Something's happened here. I'm sure of it. There's blood on this Indian club, too. Let's break into the house.
Well, you can go in there if you want to, but you won't catch me going in that house. No telling what you might find.
The officer did find many strange things in the house. Everything in Mr. Lincoln's bedroom had been tossed around. Clothes and the contents of a bureau had been strewn on the floor. There was blood over everything, but no body could be found. Immediately, the police started a hunt for Lincoln's remains, and detectives tried to trace Mrs. Lincoln and her brother. 4 days later, a man walked into the Aurora Police Headquarters.
Captain Sutherland?
Yes?
My name is Warren J. Lincoln.
What?
Warren J. Lincoln.
Sit down, Mr. Lincoln.
Thank you.
Well?
I saw all about my supposed murder in the Chicago papers, so I came down to tell you that there's been a mistake.
Now, what's all this about? Where have you been?
Well, I had to go to Chicago on business.
Maybe you can explain that bloody nightshirt in the Indian club.
Sure.
And all those clothes of yours tossed around the room in your house.
Well, it was a sudden call, and I had to leave in a hurry. I guess I did leave things in a mess, but a mussy room and a few blood stains don't make a murder, you know.
Oh, but when the blood happens to be chicken blood, it makes it look a little phony.
How'd you find that out?
Had it analyzed. And maybe you can set us straight on that, Mr. Lincoln. Where did that chicken blood come from?
Why, I killed a chicken, that's all.
Your nightshirt with an Indian club? You'd have to think of a better one than that.
Well, that's all there was to it.
Frankly, I don't believe you, Mr. Lincoln. Just where are your wife and brother-in-law?
I don't know.
Well, when they wrote and telephoned you, where were they?
Chicago.
Where are the letters they sent?
I burned them.
How many times did they telephone you?
Oh, two or three times. I've forgotten.
Those calls presumably came from Chicago, too?
Yes.
Well, that's funny. Telephone company has no record of any long-distance calls to your number for over 2 months.
They must be mistaken.
The telephone company isn't in the habit of making mistakes, Lincoln. Now, just where are your wife and brother-in-law?
I don't know.
Then why'd you say they were in Chicago?
Well, that seemed to me like the place they would go.
I see. Well, you just made up that story about the threatening letters and telephone calls.
Yes.
Why?
To keep the neighbors from talking.
Oh, come on, Lincoln. Think of a better one. Where are your wife and brother-in-law?
I don't know.
Do you want me to tell you where they are?
Yes.
They're dead.
What makes you think that?
Stands to reason. Where else could they be? Why should they leave a soft spot like your house? Nothing to do and you to make a living for them.
I put them out.
Ah, don't make me laugh, Lincoln. You were afraid of them. All your neighbors testify to that. Your wife and her brother had you buffaloed and they knew it. They must have seen the papers and know that we're looking for them. Why don't they show up?
They're afraid to show up. Would you give yourself up if you knew the police were looking for you for murder?
If I hadn't done it, you bet I would. I'm going to hold you, Lincoln, on suspicion. I'll give this story to the newspaper boys so that every paper in the Middle West will be full of it. If your wife and brother-in-law are alive, they'll read it and we'll hear from them. But until we do, you'll stay in jail.
The week which followed the reappearance of Lincoln was treated as a newspaper sensation, but headlines, police hunts, and clever detective work brought no sign of the missing Mrs. Lincoln nor her brother. So the police captain and Detective Sloan, the man who had charge of the case, called on Lincoln in his cell.
Well, Lincoln, we haven't heard from your wife or brother-in-law.
Oh, they're just hiding out to get me in trouble.
Have you told us everything you know about this, Lincoln?
The captain said everything, Lincoln.
Well, no, I didn't tell you everything.
Why not?
Well, I was afraid you wouldn't believe it.
Well, let's have it now.
I didn't tell the whole truth about the trip to Chicago. I didn't go there on business. I was kidnapped.
And who kidnapped you?
My wife and her brother. They took me to Chicago and kept me there and made me pay them to let me go.
How much did you pay them?
$3,000.
In cash or with a check?
Cash.
Where'd you get this money? You didn't draw it from the bank because we've looked up your account.
I just had it, that's all.
So they dragged you up to Chi to take it away from you, eh?
Yes.
Lincoln, listen. I've heard all the pipe dreams I'm going to hear from you. Now, where are your wife and brother-in-law?
I don't know.
You do know. You killed them.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. Now, where are they?
I don't know, I tell you. I don't know.
You killed them. You know you did. And you're going to hang for it.
You can't hang me if you can't find enough of their bodies to show they're dead.
Then you did kill them.
No. No.
You did. You just said you did.
Oh, supposing I did kill them. You can't do anything to me until you find enough of them to prove it.
What'd you do with them?
I cut them up and burned them in the furnace.
Yeah, that furnace examined right away, Sloan.
It won't do you any good. I got it all cleaned out.
It's almost impossible to burn a head in a furnace.
I didn't put the heads in the furnace.
Where did you put them?
Find out yourself.
Now, listen.
I won't tell you.
Listen, you're smart enough to know that sooner or later we can break you down.
All we got to do is keep after you, and sooner or later you're going to tell.
Even if I do tell you, it won't do you any good.
Why not?
I got them all covered with quicklime.
Quicklime?
Yes, quicklime. Think I took any chances? They'll be all burned up by now. I've been planning this for years, ever since I got married. I've been picked at, nagged at, and fought with until I've gone crazy, I guess. Crazy enough to make up my mind to kill those two. I planned every step. Now I've done it, and you can't prove a thing on me. I've committed two murders, and you can't hang me for them. The joke's on you, Captain. I'm clear. Do you hear? Clear.
Where'd you put the heads?
In one of the concrete flower boxes. I put them in there and filled it with quicklime and then covered the box with cement.
Well, Lincoln, that's just where you made your mistake. An expert can get that concrete off without any trouble. And if there's anything left of those heads, you're done for.
It looked a great deal as though Warren J. Lincoln had gotten away with it. As a forlorn hope, Detective Sloan decided to have a try at the flower box anyway. So he and the captain went down to Lincoln's house to have the box opened.
Well, it looks like we're beaten, Sloan.
You never can tell, Captain. Wait till Joe gets the cement chipped away from that flower box. How are you doing, Joe?
Pretty good, Mr. Sloan. I'll have all this chipped away in a couple of minutes.
I've never seen a case yet where there wasn't some kind of a slip-up. If I don't overlook any bets, something always breaks in my favor. That's why I'm not letting this flower box get past me.
It's our last hope, even if it is a pretty slim one.
Mr. Sloan, I got all the cement up.
See anything in there?
I don't want to look. I'm not used to things like this.
All right, Joe. I'll look. Well, what do you think, Captain?
There's plenty of lime in there, all right. But I don't think it's quicklime.
You're right. It isn't quicklime. It's burnt lime. I told you we had a break coming. Lincoln put the wrong kind of lime on those two heads, and they're not burned up. We'll be able to identify them without any trouble.
Lincoln is as good as hanged right now.
Only part of Detective Sloan's prophecy came true. Lincoln was convicted, but he didn't hang. He was sentenced to the Illinois State Penitentiary for life.
Now you've heard our first murder story. We hoped you liked it. In our next broadcast, we will tell you another true murder mystery, a very puzzling case that was solved by scientific methods that put your fictive detectives to shame, and every word of it actually true. Listen for our next murder mystery, brought to you by the Police Reporter. This is a Radio Release production.